Hello everyone, I'm Heather.
And I'm Craig.
And welcome to the very first episode of our awesome new podcast, cleverly named the Amalgamingle Podcast. And for those that don't know, Amalgamingle is our YouTube channel.
Yes. So at the time of this recording, it is not quite New Year, but we're nearly there. So this will be going out on January 1st, 2025. So Happy New Year,
Happy
everyone.
New Year, woo, and all that stuff.
Hope you got whatever you wanted for Christmas. Or if you don't celebrate it, hope you at least enjoyed your time with your friends and your family.
Yep.
So what we thought we'd do in our very first episode, since it's literally at the start of the year, is look back on the year we've just had.
Yes, why not? And then also look to the future, 2025. Yes.
And my God, is there a lot to talk about
in
2024.
There is a lot to talk about. And before we get started, though, I just want to say, if you joined us from the Amalgamingle YouTube channel, then thanks for listening. We upload regular videos on like gaming tips, lists, reviews, and much more. So if you're not familiar with the channel, do check that out.
Yes, all one word, and you can find us easy enough.
Yes.
So where to begin, shall we?
Right, I think a good place to start would actually be the Game Awards.
Since it's hot off everyone's mind.
Yes, it is. I think it was in early December, wasn't it?
It was.
Yes, and Astrobot, Sony's new poster child after Crash Bandicoot, won Game of the Year. Big surprise.
It was actually a big surprise.
I don't think it would.
I didn't think it was going to get it. Although no, you did.
Soon as I heard the nominees, even though who I believe should have won is Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, whatever, I knew Astrobot was going to win. They can't let a DLC win, which was the Elden Ring. Summit of the Erd Tree. Not a fan of Elden Ring, sorry guys. But that couldn't win, because it was a DLC. I can't actually remember who the other nominees were. Fantasio or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Neo Dimension Fantasio.
Oh, that Wukong...
Oh, yeah.
Black Wukong, well, I can't remember.
Black Myth Wukong.
Yes, that.
Yes. That actually looks like a really good game.
It does, but I bet it's bastard hard.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
It does.
Even
look
though
hard.
We do run a gaming channel, I just have to say, given that it's just the two of us, we haven't had a chance to play every game that's come out this year.
Oh,
so
God,
a lot
no.
of it is based on what we've seen, and we have played a lot of the games from this year, and we'll get into that. But yeah, oh my God, the Game Awards. I can't believe the controversy it's caused. Were the Muppets in this one as well, like last year?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't actually watch it this year.
No, I just saw clips. I just remember they were there last year. Was
yeah,
last year?
Yeah,
wasn't it with
last
Hideo
year,
Kojima as well?
Yeah, last year there was a massive controversy over how the Muppets and Hideo Kojima had as much screen time
I'm
as
I'm saying last
all...
year, this is going out 2025.
Oh, yeah, even
2023.
Yeah, but they had as much screen time as all the award winners put together. People were being rushed off stage, including one award winner who was like thanking people that had passed away.
Oh, really?
And like music started playing to usher him off the stage. It was...
They did everything except, like, the cane. They pull him by the neck.
Yeah.
Old school.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
But the Game Awards are getting worse and worse anyway. They're more about selling to us.
Yep. Well, the thing is, like, I think this with anything. I don't care what awards something wins. It doesn't change my opinion of something. If I love, for instance, the Mover, if it hasn't won Best Picture, if it was nominated, I don't care. I still love the Mover. It's the same with the game. So, guys, you really shouldn't care. Because if you look into it, and it's a deep dive, you know, if you look into the people behind the Game Awards, it gets a bit conspiracy theory-ist.
Oh, it totally does. Totally.
It's very one-sided, so.
It is. It's definitely not representative of the gaming community, we know that for sure.
Oh, definitely.
And I think the biggest tragedy in, like, the Game Awards history is that Ghost of Tsushima did not win the 2020 Game of the Year.
What one, mate?
The Last of Us. I mean, I get why. I get why The Last of Us obviously
had... No, it had its chance. A remake shouldn't count. No, I'm sorry. I love The Last of Us, but no.
I think. I did read up on it recently. I've just forgotten which one actually won. But it doesn't even matter. Ghost of Tsushima, a masterclass. Masterpiece.
It was the swan song of the PS4.
It was amazing.
Yes, it was. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree. And obviously, adjacent to the Game Awards, we had loads of new things announced, including a teaser for The Witcher 4, where you will be playing as Ciri and not Geralt.
Yeah.
Do you care?
I don't,
but then again, I'm going to throw it out there, by the way, tried to play The Witcher 3 way too many times, lost interest. I don't know what it is about that world, just can't take to it. But you, at least, have finished it.
I have. I play that game start to finish. It was all right. You know, I liked it. It was different. I just found Geralt to be a little bit blah. and the gameplay was a little bit clunky. Yes. But other than that, the quests were great, the world was great. There's a lot of things to like about The Witcher 3. Sadly, it really bugs me that you won't be playing as Geralt. I understand that all along the story was heading towards Ciri taking the forefront, but still, it bugs me. I find it difficult to let go.
Oh, really?
Yeah, to let go of Geralt.
So you're not Elsa.
As the main character. There was another game that said that about. What was it?
Was it not Tsushima, the sequel?
Yeah!
Ghost of Yotai?
Oh my goodness, yeah, Ghost of Yotai. That's been announced. We've seen, like, the trailer
that was,
and stuff.
That was the summer thing, wasn't it? The summer showcase?
Yeah, yeah, I think so. June. And as much as I love Ghost of Tsushima, the fact that the lead is not Jin Sakai is such a deterrent. I mean,
I
the game
why.
Looks amazing.
I get why
as well. His story's told, you know?
Yes.
But it's just, it's so hard to let go.
Yes.
You know, you fall for these characters. Mm. I say fall, but...
No, you do.
You know what I mean.
At first, Jin is actually kind of hard to like because he's such a stick in the mud.
He is.
He does soften around the edges when he realises how he's got to change his ways.
Yeah, but yeah, it's really weird how they're giving these games over to female protagonists. I don't know if they're trying to make a statement or anything, but, you know...
I don't care, personally.
No, I know you don't care, but still.
There are worse things in the world to worry about, guys, seriously. It shouldn't bother you that much.
No, it shouldn't bother you.
But anyway.
It doesn't bother me for sexist reasons, obviously. Yeah. It bothers me because I loved the previous characters.
Yes.
But there are some people out there who are a bit meaner.
Do you know what they could have done? They could have had you play as Yuna.
Play as Yuna? Oh, that is a great idea. Why can't we play as Yuna? Oh, you've just made me want to play as Yuna now.
I should go and knock on Sucker Punch's door. Hello, I've got an idea for you here.
Yes. Even Lady Masako, although she's kind of annoying.
Yeah, well, she's got a reason to be angry.
Yes.
But we'll move on to a happier thing that was announced.
Yeah, while we're on the subject of announcing games, The Outer Worlds 2, the gameplay trailer. Oh my god!
Yeah.
I'm so excited for that.
When was that first trailer announced?
That was announced at the Game Awards.
No, the first teaser that they did that's mocked trailers.
I think it was like 2021.
God.
It was a while ago.
It was a funny trailer, though.
It was a funny trailer.
This one's also funny, and I like it.
It is funny. Although I don't think that they should be using humour to mask the fact that there was a lot of stuff that they omitted from the first game. Like, you know, only having a handful of planets. And they promised a lot in The Outer Worlds 1, and I believe that when it was released, people were quite disappointed. But that's what happens when you set up people's expectations high, and then what you deliver doesn't
There's also another reason. It's weirdly to do with Fallout, because Obsidian also made Fallout New Vegas, which is usually most people's favourite Fallout game, because of the amount of choice you can do in that game. You can even break the game, which I do, by the way, every time. I've never completed that game properly. I always kill a faction so badly that it breaks the main quest. You can do that.
I believe The Outer Worlds was compared to Fallout 76.
Yeah, because in Fallout New Vegas, for instance...
Oh, New Vegas,
sorry, it's just like, in New Vegas, there are literally so many different factions. Bethesda should have took so many notes, but they didn't. They decided to just squirrel away into the little rabbit hole, right? And there's so many choices, so many factions, and when you join a faction, you can make other factions hate you and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's why people were really kind of disappointed with The Outer Worlds, that there wasn't that much...
Yeah.
Complexity that there should have been.
I know what you mean. I mean, different factions do exist and you do have relationships with them and choices have serious consequences, but it's nowhere near to the extent that Fallout was.
No.
And that's the problem with the game. They really shrunk down.
It was linear. It actually had an end. Before the DLCs, it had an end.
Yeah, it did have an end, but it was quite open as well.
Yeah.
I really loved the first Outer Worlds. Can't wait for the second one. The DLCs were great as well for the first Outer Worlds.
Yeah, that murder mystery one.
I love
a good murder mystery. That's one
that
of the best.
That was brilliant.
Even Fallout 4 had a DLC with a murder mystery quest in it. It was really fun.
For those that don't know, you go to like this resort place where people are going crazy and they don't know what the cause is. And there's been murders and you've got to figure out what's going on. There's also Gorgon.
Yes.
Gorgon was the second DLC where you get a mysterious summons by someone in the Unreliable and you've got to go and investigate it on Gorgon. But yeah, when it comes to The Outer Worlds 2, the gameplay trailer did show a lot of stuff that I wanted to see. Brand new awesome weapons.
Looks like a new ship.
Oh, yeah, new ship. It better still be called the Unreliable. That's quite iconic to Outer Worlds fans like myself. What they could do, don't know if you're going to be able to, is be able to customise the inside of your ship and for it to have some functionality besides having a couple of workbenches in there. You know, your ship should be special.
I mean, completely agree.
You even had your own cabin in the ship, but you couldn't do anything with it. You had, like, a storage cabinet thing.
Mass Effect was like that, though, even in the Normandy.
Oh, yeah, I believe so.
Because in the first Normandy, you couldn't do anything. You could go into your captain's quarters and that was it. But in the second one and the third one, you could get models and fish for your fish tank.
Yeah.
And you could watch them and it was nice, but you still couldn't do anything in there. Yeah. It would be hilarious to see your shepherd going with a ship. I would love that. Someone make that happen.
Couldn't you get a hamster in one of the Mass Effects?
No, both in 2 and 3. You can get
you can in both.
You get a space hamster. Yeah, it's called Space Hamster. Yeah. It's adorable.
Right, so anyway, now that we're talking about upcoming game releases,
let's talk about ones that have come out.
Yes, ones that have already come out in 2024 that were great.
So yeah, again, we're not going to mention everything. This thing would be like 6 hours long.
Yes.
So we don't want to bore you as you've got probably got a hangover and you're just lying on your couch trying to forget about last night and what did I drink and what did I mix it with and what did I say to who. So we'll go back as far as to the earliest one I know, which I think is either Power World or Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
I think Power World, because it was released in January.
Okay, Power World.
Although we say released, but that it wasn't really released, because it's a beta.
It's released now, because it's on PS5. But yeah, it was released as the game preview in January 2024. If you want to check it on the YouTube channel, we actually did do a little playthrough.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can see what it was like when it first came out before they made the changes they've made now.
Yes, well, Craig had a little playthrough. I have gotten lost in Power World.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it. I played it on Xbox Game Pass, and I also bought one for the PS5 when it was ported over. Power World's got Sony behind them now.
It does.
Well, hey.
Yeah, they're not going to beat Nintendo.
No, they're not in the Japanese court. Anyway, we'll get into that. We'll get into that later. What was I going to say? I've completely lost my train of thought now.
You fell into Power World.
Did I?
Yes.
Oh, is that the excuse I came up with?
Yes.
I just fell into Power World. Whoops. Yeah.
And you didn't think to get back out. I didn't take to it only because I just can't play resource games after a certain amount of time. I kind of get bored of the repetitiveness. And I know, obviously, you could say that about Pokemon with grinding and catching and leveling up. But it's just, you know, there's the charm to Pokemon. And also, to me at least, I've been playing since I was like 8. I've got the nostalgia seal because I've been playing literally since the Game Boy Color days. So yes. Pokemon has that shield. Obviously, Power World doesn't. It's a new IP. I also find it so mean-spirited. I don't like seeing people shooting these things. I don't like seeing people using bow and arrows to catch a Dratini knockoff.
Do you know what? If it makes you feel any better, even though it showed all them awesome, powerful guns in the trailers, it's a long time before you can actually unlock a gun.
You showed me the skill tree.
Oh my goodness.
The skill trees are hilariously long. Like, really long. Subnautica would be quicker.
Well, not only that, but because it's a resource game, you have to craft everything. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
If you could see me right now, I'm like holding my cheeks down and stuff.
Think of Kevin McAllister, Home Alone.
Anyway, while we're on the subject of Power World, let's talk about that lawsuit. This lawsuit between Nintendo and Power World, because of Pokemon, obviously, is quite unique because they're suing them for patent infringement. Which is completely different.
It's the Pokeball thing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's one of a handful of patents that they're suing Power World for. The Pokeball thing, they're basically saying that the motion of throwing a ball or a device at a creature to catch it for use in battle later is their property.
I haven't properly looked into it, so that amuses me so.
Which is why
no one can throw a ball in real life then without asking for Nintendo's permission, eh?
But that is why Power World have late last year, they changed the mechanic so that you don't actually throw the ball. Uh-huh. If you want to summon a pal, it'll just appear beside you. I've not played the game since that patch has been.
I've seen footage of that change. Yeah, I've seen comparisons. So yeah, I've seen the change.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
But even though they've changed it, the lawsuit will still stand because they can claim retrospectively for all the lots and lots of money that Power World has generated. Like I say, that's the only one of many patents that Nintendo are claiming.
I'd love to see the court cases, like, Exhibit A, here's Ash Ketchum in the Pokemon TV show, as you can see.
Here's every other monster-catching game where you throw a trap at a creature to use in battle. Are you not suing them?
Oh, yeah, Nexomon.
Oh, God, Nexomon, Temtem, there's so many.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, goodness me. The only reason they are super focused on Power World is because of the amount of money that's involved.
Yeah, and the profile. Nexomon and Temtem did not get the garner that Power World did, because obviously, as soon as people saw it, the first thing they said was, it's Pokemon with guns.
Which is such an unfair assessment.
But at the same time, the designs, you said it yourself, so many of them do just look like slightly edgier copies. You've got the Raichu, the minigun, there's a Lucario knockoff.
But strangely, that's not what Nintendo was suing for.
No, it's not.
Because they can own those creative designs, if that makes any sense. Like, even Nintendo has copied Dragon Quest, the early games.
The earliest Mon game.
But because Dragon Quest...
Wasn't it? It was the first one, Dragon Quest?
I don't know.
Something like that was.
But yeah, some of their creatures in Pokemon are very similar to that. And if they were to sue Power World for the creature designs...
They'd have to sue themselves.
Yeah, they'd have to answer for themselves, because everyone's made comparisons. But yeah, how this unfolds will have massive implications for the future of monster-taming games.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if Nintendo managed to secure that, and they... You know, no one else can have that kind of mechanic, then they've got a monopoly.
They do. I mean, it's one of those things where every genre tends to have that big IP.
Mm.
Obviously, when it comes to Monster Tamers, most people don't even probably know that there's ones outside of Pokemon.
Yeah, I know.
So, because I remember, right, with Digimon's a good example. When I was a kid, I remember when Digimon first came out, the series, everyone was aping it and, like, mocking it. I remember even when I was, like, in year five or six. But I didn't know this until years later, but I believe Digimon, the TV show, aired in Japan before the Pokemon show.
Oh, right.
I might be wrong, but basically, they're really close to each other, and it didn't steal from it. They were too close for it to have been one aping off the other. So, you know.
Yeah.
But it just goes to... But no, you didn't see it here, Nintendo taking after Digimon.
No, I remember when I was younger, if you liked Pokemon, you were not allowed to like Digimon.
Well, then I was sacrilegious, because I at least liked season one of the TV show. I used to love that show.
It was like you were some kind of sellout to the Pokemon.
Digimon. Digital
no, monsters.
Digimon are the champions.
I bet we remember it as being that heavy and badass, but like the Rasmus.
Oh, God.
It's nowhere near that hardcore.
I've been watching.
I've been waiting in the shadows. I don't know why they're Cockney.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure they're like Norwegian or something.
In the shadows.
I'm sure they're a European band.
Well, probably.
With a bird crow on the nest.
But for those wondering, we had that revelation. We remembered that song, you know, In the Shadows.
If you don't know who the Rasmus are, you're lucky. Don't look in them up, they're not worth it.
But we remember it being a lot harder and more metal, and then we heard it, and the way we'd been singing it.
It must have been a gateway drug.
Yeah, we must have been drunk and heard it as much better than it actually was.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway, back to gaming.
Yes. So yeah, with Power World, we'll just have to see what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
Not heard anything since that first, not the first announcement, but since they've changed the update.
No, whether Nintendo or not that, are being quite quiet.
Yeah, and Nintendo are really litigious. Anyone who runs a gaming thing on YouTube and uses anything from Nintendo, we've done this. You have to be so careful.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, it's ridiculous how quick they step in with a copyright.
And they're also Nintendo's dream team of lawyers. They're a dream team for a reason. I don't think they've ever lost.
No, they're not. It reminds me of that Mr. Burns thing where it's like, I have 12 high-priced lawyers.
Yeah. But do you know what? The reason that they've never lost is because they're just so good, the lawyers. I mean, they're taking on Pal World in... Oh, what's it?
Was it not Tokyo?
Yeah. They're taking them on in court in Japan, because IP and copyright law and all that stuff is different than it is in the United States or the UK.
Yeah, over here they'd have more fair use.
Yeah, exactly. Fair use is
Two words don't exist in Japan, apparently. It doesn't translate well to Japanese.
Yeah. So that was a smart decision. It also took Nintendo's lawyers a long time to build up their case. Pal World was out for a while before they pounced on them because their lawyers were behind the scenes, you know, creating what they think is a solid case.
Yep.
But yeah, anyway, I'm very excited to see how this unfolds. But, you know, we've been talking about this for quite a while, actually.
Yeah, we can move on.
Yeah, let's move on to some other games that came out in 2024 that were actually good. Should we move on to what is perhaps arguably the biggest game of 2024?
Rebirth?
Yeah, Rebirth. Well done, you. Well done.
I don't play Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
It looked great. It's great to watch, but it's just not my cup of tea.
Didn't you buy me that for something? My birthday or summer?
I bought that for you off Ava as a Mother's Day gift.
Oh, that's you what it did.
Was. That's what it was.
Thank you very much, Ava.
Yes.
And you, thank Craig. You.
Yes. At least you got your money's worth out of it.
Oh, God, yeah. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is so much better than the remake, which is essentially just part one of a remake project. It annoys me. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is part two of the remake. So just part one is the remake.
Yeah.
Set in Midgar.
Yep.
Part two is the Rebirth, set in the world.
I don't know what part three is going to do.
Reunion. If it's not called Reunion, then I will be so shocked.
I meant to say this, by the way, because it's called Rebirth. Is anyone reborn in it?
Is anyone reborn?
Metaphorically, spiritually, conceptually, physically?
That's a difficult question. You've caught me off guard.
I'm just thinking, looking at the word, in word of context of what I've seen of the game.
Mm.
But, I mean, obviously, anyway, it doesn't matter. You can think about that in the back of your mind.
I can, but that's troubling thought. I have to think about it.
Yeah, I mean, graphically, it looked great. Combat looked a little better than it did in the remake.
Yeah.
It looked a little sharper.
They have an emphasis on synergies in that game, which is basically pairing up with one of your allies to create...
A lot more, like, the companion dynamic.
Yeah, definitely. This one places a lot of attention on... character development, should I say, not relationships, but there is a relationship mechanic as well.
Yeah.
But you get to learn. I keep saying it's really annoying me.
We're not scripted, can't you tell?
Yeah. This is just like casual sofa style chat thing. Apparently, I say a lot. I'm sure I'll get out of that.
I was waiting for that then.
What was I saying before I went off on
character dynamics?
Yeah, we get to see a lot of development about Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
We see his backstory, which is brilliant. So good, that, his backstory. You get to see like how he lost his arm.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, interesting. There's all that stuff with Dine. I don't want to spoil anything for people. I said again.
Yeah. Yeah, that was funny. We've never played the original, at least. Tried.
Yeah.
You've tried, but it's... Because you didn't play it as a kid, it's one of those things where it's hard to get past the retro vibe.
Mm.
So obviously you've got no comparison. So I've got no comparison based on what I've seen from other videos and other people playing it. I never played JRPGs, and I never will. They're not for me. But I'm glad you can.
Yeah, I can.
And my God, when you get into them.
I've been told that I can't actually play Crisis Core.
Why?
Until I played the original, because it will give me some massive spoilers for part three of the remake.
Okay. Oh, you've not played Integrate yet, have you?
Oh, God, no. I've not actually gone back and played it.
Because we hate that character.
Oh, my God, Yuffie, I hate that girl so much.
I don't know what she's like in the original, obviously. Speech, it's just text balloons, so you don't know what she's like. But, oh, my God, she's annoying.
She is annoying. Very annoying.
Maybe we're just old and grumpy.
We are old and grumpy. Very old and grumpy. Oh, I did read as well that for Rebirth there's not going to be any DLC. I don't know how much truth there is to that, but it wouldn't surprise me.
It seems a bit weird to add it when it's just part two.
But yeah, I read something that said that they definitely weren't going to do DLC in favour of just preparing for the third one, which I'm assuming will be Final Fantasy VII Reunion.
We've actually heard nothing about that, so I'd be surprised if that even comes out on the PS5.
Well, do you know there's only a 5-year gap between the remake, the first part, and Rebirth?
Yeah, but the original, well, not the original, but the remake came out on the PS4 originally.
So it did.
So, and yes. Gaming console generations last on average about 6 years.
Mm.
So, you know, next year is the 5th year of the PS5 and the Series X. Obviously, it won't become the Series X, it's a PlayStation exclusive, but... If they don't get it out next year, maybe there'll be a swan song for the PS5. Yeah, before we move on to PS6 and whatever the hell that might be.
But yeah, I can't believe that Final Fantasy VII Rebirth didn't win Game of the Year. I understand why it didn't, but there are so many reasons why it should have. It had huge areas. There's so much scope in this game.
Yeah, there was a lot to do.
The mini games alone, so much to do.
We even did a video ranking them.
Yeah, I spoiled something for myself for the third game as well. I was so annoyed, which I'm not going to mention here. But you know, it's a means of traversal.
Oh, I know a lot about stuff like that. Final Fantasy games usually have something like that because they're quite big.
You say that, but Final Fantasy 15 wasn't that great.
Yeah, I know. I just had a really crappy car.
You didn't even have many car variations.
I know.
Anyway, should we just move on to other another games?
Something else, yes.
On the flip side of...
a good game release.
Good game. We got some massive bombs in 2024 as well.
We did.
Where to start?
Okay, I'm going to pick Skull and Bones.
Skull and Bones. Oh my goodness, what a complete mess.
Oh God. I refuse to play this after I saw what the actual gameplay, inverted commas there, biggest inverted commas, gameplay that Ubisoft shown. Because this game was first teased, I think, in 2017, maybe 2018. I remember when it first came out, Ubisoft wasn't the joke that they are now. They were riding high because in 2017 they'd done the re-release of Assassin's Creed Origins. Right. They'd done the reboot. I say they weren't a joke. They weren't as big a joke because obviously they'd fallen into that thing where every year we got a new Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
We had Unity, we had Syndicate, we had Rogue.
They had to reinvent themselves.
Yeah. And they did it really well. Origins and Odyssey were well received.
Odyssey was fantastic.
Then
such
it
a massive...
fell into its own arse yes. with Valhalla.
Oh, it
which
did.
Became too cumbersome for a lot of people, ourselves included.
Yeah.
But Skull and Bones, that got kept pushed back, kept hearing different things, and it was just such a mess because the most beloved Assassin's Creed game is Black Flag, weirdly.
Yeah.
The pirate one.
Yeah.
So why it took them so long, why they made the mess they did, I don't know.
I have no idea. I mean... Skull and Bones is such a fantastic idea. The basic premise of a pirate game going around the seven seas or whatever. I can't do a pirate impression.
I don't know what that was supposed to be.
For some reason, when I try and do a pirate impression, I end up going all like, ooh, I'm a farmer or something.
You did. You went West Country then.
It's really weird. Anyway, the idea of a pirate game of that nature is really exciting. But they messed it up.
Yeah, you can't do boarding parties.
Nope.
There's a lot of Fate of Blacks. Mm-hmm. You can't do anything.
There's a lot of resource gathering, but not even like from your ship. Oh, God.
It reminds me when Sea of Thieves first came out. It was so bare bones, Sea of Thieves, but at least you could do things.
Mm.
You could get off your ship and go and run around an island, and you could find things. It was sparse, but it was there. They've now made it a much better game than it was, and it's just fascinating that Skull and Bones just went...
It's mind-boggling to me, because this is the same people who are responsible for, like you say, Black Flag.
And
they're responsible
Odyssey.
For Odyssey, which has fantastic ship mechanics.
It does, yeah.
I mean, the gameplay for Black Flag's really good. You know, that could have been a basis for Skull and Bones, mm-hmm. but the ship mechanics is the best in Odyssey. Yeah. The ship combat is... brilliant in Odyssey.
Yeah.
I don't know why they've ended up with such a mess. Although, what could be responsible for it is because that game had been in development hell for a while.
Yeah, like I said.
And Ubisoft, I know they've had layoffs, they've had a hard time.
They might be being bought by Tencent.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're having financial problems. They're like looking forward to the future of bankruptcy and stuff.
Possible. That's just a rumour. Obviously, when we see articles, I don't take it all. It's clickbait,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
I know Star Wars Outlaws was a bit of a dud,
but
there's also the fact that they've pushed back Assassin's Creed. Should have come out October, I think.
Yeah.
It's coming in February now, I believe. Doing what people have wanted them to do for a long time and take it to fucking Japan.
Well, do you know what, right? Ubisoft, I kind of have no sympathy for them. Because they make bad business decisions.
They do. They announced a game that's got something to do with NFTs. Still, you know, that lucrative market. And it's like, it's so weird. I don't know why they're doing it. They seem to be jumping on trends after trends have even been a thing.
Hang on. After Valhalla, there was Mirage.
Oh, yeah, they were right back. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, but that game bombed too. People didn't like it.
Because it didn't... I guess it didn't walk the tightrope. Because the earlier games weren't stupidly huge.
Yeah, it was probably a shock for those that have played the rebooted games.
It's quite funny, Assassin's Creed, because, funny enough, if you go back to try and play the first one, it has not aged well. It is very, very clunky.
But it's a classic.
Yeah. I mean, it set up a trend. It was originally supposed to be a Prince of Persia game, then they changed it to that. How weird is that?
Yeah.
But yeah, oh my god, Ubisoft, what the hell? Can you imagine an Assassin's Creed show? I bet they'd ruin that somehow. They did it with a movie.
They
did it with a movie in like 2013. Oh. That was when it was at peak popularity too.
How can you go wrong? Wait, hang on. Speaking of Prince of Persia, didn't we get The Lost Crown? Was that this year?
Something like that. Side-scroller one, yeah.
Yeah, yes. After being promised, like...
The Sands of Time remake.
Yeah, we were shown the cinematic of him like doing that wall.
The wall
running.
Call, yeah. You know, that thing we all want to play.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, The Lost Crown, side-scrolling Prince of Persia game. I'm just what we wanted.
That trilogy, I don't think I played the other two.
Didn't you? I did.
I did Sands of Time. I remember the emo one. What's the emo one?
The Sands of Time,
for the first one.
The Two Thrones,
Warrior Within?
Yes, Warrior
Within.
Which
is that the emo one?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
It might be. I don't know.
It was like, look at me, I'm edgy. peak 2000s, peak mid-2000s, oh my god.
Yeah.
But yeah, that first game at least, I loved it so much. And then they did the remake, not a remake, they did that cel-shaded Prince of Persia that was like 2008. Very bizarre game, but I liked it, liked the gameplay. Didn't do very well. And then I think they just dropped the IP and now they're bringing it back. It's very bizarre.
Yeah. Well, speaking of running IPs into the ground, let's talk about Horizon.
Oh, God. What is happening there with Guerrilla Games?
I'll tell you, what is happening is that they're trying so hard to shove Aloy and Horizon down people's throats, but I think they're overestimating her popularity.
Yeah, because it's quite a niche thing. There's only so much you can do.
I mean, we both loved
Zero Dawn.
I do
love Zero Dawn.
We thought Forbidden West was okay, it's just it had its problems and we didn't
like the story. Everything else, actually there's two big problems with Forbidden West. One is the main story, and two is Aloy.
Yes, that's
she's
right.
Written so badly.
She is. She's
everything else
badly.
In that game, I really like. I like the side characters and the NPCs. I've never played a game where NPCs are actually interesting to
talk
to.
Oh, they were fantastic, yeah.
It's so good.
But they've remastered Zero Dawn.
Again.
Has it come out? I think it has come out, hasn't it?
Yeah, and then there was the Lego Horizon. There was the VR one too. Is that out yet?
Call of the Mountain.
Yeah, Climb the Mountain.
And they've had like Aloy, I don't know, Genshin Impact and stuff like that. They've had little caricatures of Aloy around everywhere. So I think the biggest kick in the balls for the franchise was the Lego.
Game. It's the thing that I've not played it, but the thing that bugged me was the humour. It uses humour that franchise doesn't have in the trailer. It's like it's aiming at that teenage market, the kind of like superhero comedy that you see in the Marvel movies. Now, nothing against the Marvel movies, that works in that thing, but this is just my analogy. Sorry, I don't watch the Marvel movies. I'm sorry if I'm offending you with my lack of superhero lore, but like that Joss Whedon style comedy is what I saw in the thing. And she starts singing a song, like a very popular song, I think, or something. Like, oh, no, not very popular. It's that Chumbawamba song, isn't it? I'm Getting Up Now.
Don't you sing that? Yeah, I think so.
I'm like, where the hell has Aloy heard this?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And also in the universe, where does it sit? Is it actually part of the universe? It's so weird.
I don't know.
I mean, I've seen a Lego tall neck on Amazon. It looks amazing. But I'm not paying the price they're charging.
Yeah. Well, I don't know why. I've gone Cockney again.
Dick Van Dyke here. It's Mary Poppins.
Sorry to anyone who's actually Cockney, and I'm just completely...
Why? You have an atrocious accent. I stand by that.
Yeah. We're Manx anyway. We're Mancunian. You can take the mick out of us too. We don't care.
We've got very thick skin. I don't care.
But today, literally today, whenever this is being recorded, but...
Yes.
I read an article which said that they're releasing a Forbidden West PS5 Pro remaster.
Oh yeah, I've seen the picture. And the only thing I saw different was the lighting on her cheek. The lighting on her cheek was slightly better.
Oh my god. Like, Sony recently admitted, I think this was in like November, December.
Mm-hmm.
they admitted that they are now reaching the peak of technology when it comes to console gaming.
Well, we are.
So why are they starting to remaster things that can't actually be remastered?
Yeah, I know.
Because they've peaked.
Yeah. Some games, you can see it. Some you can't. Like The Last of Us Part 2, we both looked at that trailer and were like, for the PS5 Pro, we both were like, I don't see the difference. Yeah. I genuinely mean it. But then again, I'm one of those people, graphics, I mean, they're great, but I don't care about them.
No.
I don't care about graphics.
Plus, Forbidden West was already phenomenal when it came to the graphics.
Yeah, it was. It was looked fantastic. Yeah. It still does. The detailing was amazing.
Yeah, yeah, really, really
Instead of upscaling games that we do want to see upscaled, they're not. It's like Red Dead Redemption 2. I don't know why Rockstar haven't done that. That would look even better.
I don't know how, because it looks amazing anyway, still... But Sony's now looking at handheld devices.
Yeah.
Because they've peaked.
Yeah. And Sony have had quite a few duds besides Horizon.
Oh, the Portal. The PlayStation Portal, wasn't that 2024?
Pretty much every handheld's never done that well.
Yeah, but that was...
Was it this?
2024.
Was it? Is that that's the one where...
I think so.
Is that the one where you have to be signed in on the PS5 to use it?
Yeah, so the Portal, it doesn't even allow you the portability.
Yeah, so you have to be signed in.
You've got to be in the same... house as your PS5 to turn it on and log you in, and just it's basically just streaming
Nintendo
it.
Must have pissed themselves when they
must
saw
have
that.
Absolutely
they're
oh
the king. I mean, as much as I have problems with their hardware now, they are the kings of portable. They always have been and they always will be. I think that's the reason why Xbox don't try that hard.
Yeah.
But they had Foam Stars, Sony, at the beginning of the year.
Oh, they
that
did.
That Splatoon rival.
Oh.
That came and went with a whimper.
I remember seeing that premiered on, was it Summer Game Fest or something? Sure. Whatever. Whenever I saw the trailer and it actually looked quite fun. Like you say, Splatoon. Mm-hmm. But... Ooh, it came, it went with a whimper.
I didn't even know it came out, to be honest. I forgot.
Yeah.
I just, they did that live service thing, because game companies doing live service when they shouldn't be doing live service, because I believe that's Square.
It is Square, yeah. They
You know, that's not their bread and butter.
No.
Stop it.
Why are they doing that?
Yes.
Honestly, Square have their strengths, and their massive strengths. Just don't diversify that way.
Yeah, you...
It's just, fine.
Yeah,
you know?
Stay in your wheelhouse.
Yes, yes.
And another one was obviously Concord.
Oh God, yeah, the big daddy of failures.
Definitely
of
2024, the biggest bomb, maybe in gaming ever.
Oh my
Only
God!
Only because 8 days after it was released, it was pulled from everywhere. My
God. What was the peak player count? I can't remember, but it was
a couple of thousand, I think.
Oh, it was atrocious.
We didn't even get a chance to look at it.
No,
I
remember reading about Concord's failure in the news, and I was like, what the hell's Concord?
Yeah, we both did this, because, right, to give you context, we first started the YouTube channel in 2021, and in that first year, we don't do it now, we actually did gaming news, and we would cover things, so if Sony did a showcase, or Xbox did a showcase, or Nintendo Switch Direct, we did, you know, this is what they announced.
Yeah.
When Concord was announced, it was told it had been in development for 8 years, and not once had we seen anything to do with it. And when when I searched into YouTube Concord trailer, it had been released 3 months before it came out. There was no build-up. Apparently 200 million went into it, and they wanted it to have like Star Wars levels of spin-offs, and they wanted it to be this huge franchise. And gaming companies, just companies in the world, if you handle creative things, Star Wars was a happy accident.
Yes.
It was literally a make or break for George Lucas, that. But this is the thing. People think you can just make a franchise. We've had it with the monster movie thing. They tried to bring back the universe monsters with the mummy, the Tom Cruise mummy, which we spoke about the other day as well.
Yeah, strangely.
And it's the same with gaming. And I know gaming now is bigger than it's ever been. But stop trying to make franchises. Just make... Yeah. A good game.
You can't plan for it.
No.
I feel like that's what they're trying to do with Horizon as well. Trying to create a franchise when there's not the potential for it there.
Yeah, so Zero Dawn's a good example. Gonna have to go into spoilers for the ending here, just to explain it. So, even if it's not going to make any sense to you, I'm going to say it as it happens. When that Hades thing is captured by Silence in that lantern thing.
Yes.
And he goes, I have many questions for you. That's where it ends.
Mm-hmm.
If the game tanked, that would have been just like, ooh, what would have happened? It doesn't immediately set up a sequel. You don't have to follow him because he's not the main character.
No, he wasn't even featured in the second game.
Barely. Oh, R.I.P. Lance Hedrick. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do now. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Not Hans Rent. I said Lance Henriksen.
I know who you mean, though.
Reddick. Lance Reddick. That's his name. Sorry. I'm doubly sorry, especially since he died. Always amazing in everything he was in, whether it was video games or movies.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know what they're going to do now that Silence is gone, how they're going to write him out, if they're going to recast him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was just, oh, Sona.
Yeah.
That Concord thing was so arrogant.
I know. There's so many things that contributed to the failure of Concord.
Mm-hmm.
One of which I...
Lack of marketing.
Yep, lack of marketing. What was the marketing budget for this game? Because nobody knew it existed.
Yeah.
And also, there was a culture of toxic positivity has been quoted as being one of the problems inside the HQ of Sony. Yes. Where you weren't allowed to say a bad thing about Concord. And, you know...
This is like the KOTOR remake all over again.
Complete denial of anything wrong with Concord.
And like Formstars, I know it's a live service game now, but before it came out, I didn't know what it was.
No.
I didn't know what type of game it was. I was like, is this a looter shooter? Is it online? Is it single player?
Do you know what? I've seen images of Concord, and I've seen a little bit of a video of Concord, and I hated both. The
thumbnail.
The poster guy.
The thumbnail. Yeah, that green guy with that smirk.
Oh, his face is so punchable. I hate him.
But this isn't Sony have a habit of arrogance. They used to be an underdog, obviously. Like, I mean, that the original, like, not the original E3, but the E3 where they announced the price of the PlayStation to compete against, I think it was Sega Saturn.
Yeah.
When they just, like, dropped that bomb, like, $299 or whatever it was. And it was, like, at least $100 cheaper than the Sega Saturn.
Yeah.
They were the underdogs. It was awesome. But when the Xbox 360 came around, it was so arrogant because the PS2 was and still is the biggest selling console of all time. They jacked the price up of the PS3.
Mm.
And no one bought it because it was just ridiculous. It was like £600 back then.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. And the Xbox was at least half that.
It was a crappy console. Anyway, I sold mine.
I was crashed. I remember when I still lived at home, obviously. Me and my brother, we had one. And it had a crash. A specific crash, and you were supposed to download this piece of thing, put it on a USB, download this thing from the Sony website, that would fix it. You plug it into the USB, and it would do it. And I remember seeing it on the TV screen, the bar would get to like 90% every time, would go no further.
Oh.
It just died. It was a shitty console then, and it's a shitty console now, and should not be remembered fondly.
No, sadly there was a few good game releases on it. I'm a Tales of fan, and a lot of Tales of games were released on PS3.
The Uncharted series.
A lot of Ratchet and Clank games, but thankfully you can play all them games now on...
The PS4 and the PS5. And the PS4 was a much better console.
Right. We could make a whole video just on Concord.
We could. And we probably will come back to it.
Eventually, possibly. So let's move on to more good game releases. We're getting a bit negative now, aren't we?
Indiana Jones.
Well, hey!
We'll do with that since a mixed year for India. I am a huge fan of the movies, two of them. And if you're wondering, Raiders, Crusade, the rest are crap. Even Temple of Doom. Sorry, guys. Temple of Doom is not good. You just remember it fondly because it was part of the original trilogy. Anyway, I've not seen Dial of Destiny, and I don't want to. I just don't like the look of it. I just want him to go away. I want to remember him fondly when he was running, but he's galloping into the sunset, literally, on a horse with his dad, and that theme tune's playing.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't need the other two. But anyway, he's back, and I am actually really loving the... How was it? I forgot the name. The Great Circle.
Yeah, the Great Circle.
Is it Troy Baker who's doing the voice? I can't remember. It's either Troy Baker or Nolan North. Them two are so intertwined, weirdly. Such a good Harrison Ford impression.
It is very good.
So on
very
point.
Good impression.
Love that prologue where it basically copies the intro to Raiders.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah, although all it did is make me want to watch Raiders.
The movies, yeah. It made me want to watch the movie. The soundtrack is amazing. The combat, it's a bit iffy. I'm not a bit bigger fan about the stealth. It seems a bit too...
Oh, no.
I just want... Because it is quite funny, you saw me do it in the first proper level when I shot that guy. I didn't even know I had it.
I didn't even know you had the gun, yeah.
There's no tutorial at the beginning, right? I don't know if it'll get patched in later, but yeah, I was playing it and I was like, it's kind of like RDR2, you know, where the controls are quite complex. So that's why I didn't know. It's like you pressed left on the arrow on the D-pad, I think it was, and then it brought up my satchel. I'm like,
you have a satchel?
And you were watching it. I was like, there's a gun.
The whip's cool. I like the whip.
Yeah, the whip's cool.
And I also like that wherever you hit NPCs on their body, they react.
They do, yeah.
Which quite is fun. Quite cool. Yeah.
The NPCs are really clever, actually. They can, if you're not quick enough, they can dodge things. So, like, as you saw, you can throw things at them to, like, distract them. But if you're behind them, and you throw, like, say, a bottle, it'll hit the back of the head because they don't need that. But if they're looking at you, they might swerve out of the way. You might dodge it because they see it coming. Little things like that I really like.
Yeah, I love it. It's really good.
It reminds me of Dishonored.
Oh, yeah.
In, like, the layout of the levels. There's a lot of Dishonored. I know it's not the same company because that's Arcane. But it gives me that vibe. And I do like that. I do like that the whip does stuff. Like, you can climb up walls.
You can swing.
You can swing like Batman. No, Spider-Man. It's quite fun. Yeah, I really like it.
The swing using the whip reminds me of Tsushima.
Yes.
Yeah. Wait, with the finally. Claw. Yeah, the claw.
Yeah.
The claw. Nothing can stop the claw. Liar, liar reference. I think. Liar, liar?
Yes.
Yeah, liar, liar.
I can't believe you had to confirm that.
So it's completely unrelated to gaming, right? But Jim Carrey's back.
Yeah. Apparently. Do you remember the quote? I've have enough, I've done enough.
Oh,
clearly
no.
You haven't.
He's like, I'm back, I've got a mortgage to pay. Sorry, guys. Yep. Mortgage. As if he's got a mortgage. He's got bills to pay, whatever.
Yes, he'll have bills to pay. But yeah, loving Inda. Yeah, so good to see that.
It is a great game. I've not actually played it myself yet. I've watched Craig do play a couple of hours.
And as I mentioned to you, there was a glitch I'd seen online where someone was in third person mode, because it does switch between first and third.
Mm.
And it's the footage I saw, it looks really smooth. And the person who'd uploaded it said, I wonder if there was... It should have been third.
Yeah.
Because usually, as I said this to you, usually in a licensed IP, it is third. I mean, unless it's a VR thing, like Batman game, for instance, you see Batman.
Yeah, because you want to be playing as Indiana Jones.
You want to see him.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know if they did that to stop maybe the stealth being too easy.
Maybe.
The map reading's a bit awkward, like when you bring the map up. That's a little
Novel. It's novel. I do like the novelty.
And sadly, on the topic of other legends... That's Tony Todd's last appearance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and I'm a huge horror fan, so I was so sad to see Tony Todd die. And that's his last thing. If you go on IMDb, that's the last credited thing he's in.
Yeah, but that is sad.
As soon as I saw it, I was like, Tony Todd? I was like, oh my God, Tony Todd.
Yeah.
Amazing. But yeah, we're loving that. But sticking with adventuring in Tombs. Tomb Raider 1-3.
The Tomb Raider remasters.
Oh,
1-3.
Smooth.
I mean, since that one's came, that was a great segue, by the way. Well done. Well done, you.
Yes.
But
you get a gold star.
Since Tomb Raider 1-3 remasters have come out, the 4-6, I think, remasters are currently in development.
Did he even have that number? Because...
I don't know.
When the PS2 era came out, there was all them really weird ones. There was that edgy one, Angel of Darkness. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
And then there's another...
Was that on the GameCube or something stupid?
It was on a few of them. There was... Oh, what's the other... There's a few others. And then... is that the one where she's like, I'm better at lockpicking now? Or something like that.
It's a really bad line dialogue. But the Tomb Raider 1-3 remasters, I think... I like the way that you can toggle between the old graphics and the new graphics, but they had to do that because otherwise you probably wouldn't be able to tell a difference unless you were playing the original... Side by side with the
and
new
it's
one.
Also because of a lot of other remasters do have that feature. So like the Halo Master Chief Collection lets you do that.
I do think that the Tomb Raiders 1-3.
Sadly, Mass Effect didn't. It should have done.
Oh, it should have done. Yeah, but Tomb Raider 1-3 remasters should have been a from the ground up remake.
Oh, I
because
agree.
Very of the outdated controls.
Very clunky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I did revisit it. And it's so hard to control.
Let me tell you people today, right? If you didn't grow up with the original PS1, you do not know how lucky you had it, right? I'm talking original block, not the curvy PS1, when it was just PlayStation 1, not when they rebranded as PS1. The block that came with the D-pad, the original it wasn't even a DualShock because that didn't exist.
No, yeah.
We had just the D-pad. Let me tell you, Crash Bandicoot back then, there's a reason he's the legend he is at heart. Because you can't use the analog sticks.
Yeah.
That, why they did that, I don't know.
Yes, Tomb Raider is not built for the analog sticks because it's grid-based movement.
Yeah, it's like playing an old Pokemon game.
Yeah, it's really weird. Anyway, the next game releases, that came out in 2024. We're probably just going to skip over a little.
Yes.
We don't want to go into too much detail with every single game release that came out in 2024, because there was a lot.
Yes, quite a lot.
So the one I do want to mention is Infinity Nikki. I played it, wasn't keen on it. It's just too airy-fairy for me. Exactly. It's meant to be described as like a cozy game, but I didn't like it. I know a lot of people do, but not my thing. The Creatures of Ava came out on Xbox Game Pass, which is actually really, really good.
Quite original. I like a lot of it. It is. I like the art style.
Yeah. You can take control of creatures and use their unique abilities to solve puzzles and get around the environment.
The beginning tutorial bit, the combat's a little iffy when you're in that little arena with a little dog thing.
But you do get more weapons, powers and stuff. And it becomes really cool.
Yeah, I like the look.
Excuse me.
Do you know what it reminds me of a little as well, the art style? The Atlantis movie, the Disney movie, Atlantis, The Lost Empire. Yeah. Because that's quite a unique movie.
Yeah.
Gets more hate than it deserves.
One of my games that was released this year, Visions of Mana, it was okay. It was okay.
Yeah, I know. You were so disappointed. It was just okay.
It was good, okay? It was all right. It was not £60 wasted. No, it was okay. I did like it. I like some elements, but it's not... There's certain identifiable characteristics of the Mana series, and Visions of Mana has very little.
Yeah. We on our main channel, we have done a Should You Play It?
Yeah, we have. If you're going to check out our YouTube channel, please do.
Yes. Yeah, it's on there. You hear the voices of concerns better there.
Yeah, I do. Not just saying, it's all right. But yeah, we've done a Should You Play review of Visions of Mana. Another game that's a me game. It's been a very me the year, this, hasn't
it? Hasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, is East 10 Nordics. Massive, massive East fan, strangely. I say strangely just because... I don't know why, because...
Because of the wonderful things he does.
Yeah, gotta love a bit of Adol. Well, that came out wrong.
Are you a teenager?
In some of them, yeah. It's not in like a real order.
Oh, God.
Basically, the East series is...
oh, God, don't get going. It's going to start turning into like Inception or Memento.
No, I was just going to say that it's basically recanting the tales of an adventurer called Adol, and it's not necessarily in chronological order.
Cool.
So in East 10 Nordics, I think he is 16 in that one, and he's magically bound with this companion.
Is he? Yes. Good for him.
Which is odd. And I say it's odd because in most of the East games, I say most, there's a couple it isn't, but you have an entourage of characters who you can freely toggle between in battles and blah, 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 blah. But there's a lot of things that are new mechanics in East 10 Nordics, like the ship, which is very exciting.
Obviously, you love a ship in a JRPG, don't you?
Oh, I do. I do. I love it. But that's definitely a new mechanic. And also the fact that there is no entourage with you makes combat have a different dynamic.
Yeah.
Because it's just two people.
What's the other one you were playing before you played Nordics? You're playing another East game for the first time.
I was, Lacrimosa of Dana.
That's it, yes.
It wasn't the first time, it's just the first time I played it all the way to the end.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, that one's actually considered to be the best one. But there's a ton of them, ton of East games.
We forgot something when we were talking about Ubisoft.
What?
Well, we mentioned there was Star Wars Outlaws that didn't do that well. But adjacent to Star Wars Outlaws was Star Wars Battlefront Classic Collection. So yeah, that was supposed to be a remaster of the original Star Wars Battlefront games 1 and 2 that came out on the PS2 and the Xbox, the original Xbox, as well as the PC at the time. And I was so tempted to buy it, do you remember?
Yeah.
And I watched a couple of reviews. People I genuinely trust in their opinions, and it put me off. Because I've actually already bought them, as you know anyway, but these people don't, because I hope you don't know. I don't know how you'd know, but my Xbox has... the original Star Wars Battlefront 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And I still love those games. DICE really dropped the ball when they brought them in, when EA had the rights under Disney. And they did the Battlefront in 2015, and then they did the Battlefront in 2 in 2018, I think. Battlefront 2 actually had a story. Battlefront 1 did not. It was all online.
See, I know that Star Wars franchise has quite a few good games under its belt, but for me, the Star Wars franchise has been ran into the ground with so much stuff. Star Wars, this Star Wars, that Star Wars.
Well, Disney have had no choice but to do it because they had to justify the amount they gave George Lucas.
Oh, God, yeah.
And they're still reeling back. I mean, they've probably made it back now, that $4 billion. Yeah. They must have made it back just from the movies alone. None of them have tanked, really. I think maybe the Solo movie.
Yeah.
But the game-wise, all they do now is they just, with any of the properties, they just seem to just announce games on properties and not bring them out. But I was so excited for that.
Yeah.
And I think 2023 had the Republic Commando remaster. But I'd played the original quite recently to that, and it turns out that I don't remember that as fondly as I thought I did. My God, that game is bastard hard. So much harder than I thought it was. And yeah, that was just quite sad. But yeah, Star Wars games really dropped down massively. But yeah, just wanted to bring that up while I remembered. We can go back to good games now.
Awesome. I like good games.
Yes, let's talk about good games.
Another big release for 2024 was Zelda Echoes of Wisdom, which was different from the Zelda games that have been taking the forefront in people's mind these days, which is obviously Breath of the Wild.
Tears of the Kingdom.
Tears of the Kingdom, mm-hmm. Yeah. Great games, both of them. Tears of the Kingdom, oh my God, that was actually...
Like it rewrote the rule book.
It did. It was so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyway, Echoes of Wisdom.
It's also a big deal because of who you play as.
Yeah, it is, exactly.
Is it the first time?
It is the first time you play Zelda. Actual Zelda.
Mario beat them. I'm sure there's a couple of games where he plays Princess Peach.
Oh, yeah. Princess Peach has her own game now, doesn't she? I can't remember what it's called. But
yeah, it's got that weird chibi art style. It's quite cute.
Yeah, it is. Some of my family members have actually played Echoes of Wisdom and they haven't took to it, even though they're massive fans
of
Zelda franchise as a whole. By that, I mean they've played games all the way back N64 days. They played Minish Cap, Majora's Mask, Twilight Princess. They've played... Skyward Sword, Four Sword. I don't know why I can't actually think of Zelda games, even though I'm a massive fan of the franchise as well. And they've not actually liked it that much. Not sure why. I think it's just the style of the game. It's much more linear. I think people have gotten used to the freedom.
Yeah, because if you look at the history, Zelda games have slowly opened up more and more.
Yeah.
And obviously, Tears of the Kingdom and Breath of the Wild, they were huge games.
Yeah.
Amazing that the Switch can run it, given how crap the processing power is of that.
I've not played Echoes of Wisdom, but one thing that Zelda is known for is fantastic dungeon crawling.
Mm.
I don't know if Echoes of Wisdom actually has that element.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure it does. But even so, like I say, people have gotten used to the new formula now, and those two games, Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, I mean, they don't have much dungeon crawling. I know they introduced dungeon crawling in Tears of the Kingdom, they were more puzzle-based, shorter tasks.
I remember there was that one, I think it was Breath of the Wild, that has where you actually have to tilt the controller.
I'm actually playing Breath of the Wild right now, funnily.
Yeah, you are.
And I'm up to that one, and I'm going to give it to you to finish, because I cannot do that.
You always give that one to me.
I know, exactly. I hate the motion controls, apparently. I just have really heavy hands.
I wish you could have saw that motion.
The slightest tilt, and that ball thing goes flying off the whatever. Anyway, so yeah, Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. Echoes of Wisdom. And I definitely... I think they were testing the water there of the popularity of the older style games.
I don't think that'll work now. I think that's why they've not remade any of the older ones in a long time.
I think it would work. It's just...
I don't know. Only because I say only older people like us would buy it. I feel like younger kids, if they didn't grow up from their parents or their older brothers and sisters saying, hey, play Ocarina of Time, you know, they're not going to have a connection to it. So
yeah.
I think that's why. It's like, imagine if now the next Pokemon game was like the remake of Diamond and Pearl. If it was more like that than Scarlet and
Violet, it'd be a shock.
People would probably not take to it.
No, because they're so used to the more open freedom of things like Arceus and...
Yes.
So
I think it's Scarlet the same Violet. As Zelda, so, you know.
Also, the fact that you play as Zelda, Link is an iconic character.
Despite never having his name in the title.
And despite everyone always calling him Zelda. He's not Zelda, he's Link.
It's fascinating. Such a weird thing that it's called Legend of Zelda. I don't know the history of it, but it fascinates me. I also, by the way, I'm not interested enough to look it up.
Anyway, there's also another remake, which is the Dragon Quest III HD 2D remake, mm-hmm. which I think is a great idea. I've not played it yet, but I do intend to.
A lot of HD 2D stuff coming
exactly.
out.
Exactly, yeah, and that's Octopath great. Traveler. Yeah, oh, really. Love you Octopath look- Traveler. I've got both games.
Mm-hmm.
The HD 2D style works really well, and Square Enix have said that they plan to make a lot more games in that style, which is brilliant. They're also doing Dragon Quest 1 and 2. It's weird that they did a remake. Yeah, they did a remake of 3, and now they're doing a remake of 1 and 2. It's very odd.
Mm.
Is
3 the most popular? Maybe that's why.
I have no idea. Just testing it. Mm. I mean, I've got to be honest here, the only Dragon Quest game I've ever played is 11.
Yeah.
Which is good. I prefer to play it in 2D mode.
You do, yes. I've seen you do it.
Yeah, only because I don't like the characters in the game or the combat system. In 2D mode, it's much better.
Yeah.
Well,
sticking in with dragons.
Yep.
One last one we'll mention as a game before we move on to gaming adjacent news.
Yes.
Is Dragon Age The Veilguard.
Yeah, which is a weird one because when we saw the trailer, we was like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, no. Well, when we saw the original teaser for Dragon Age 4, as it was called, it looked like it was quite serious. And this one doesn't look like it takes itself as serious. Now, I must say, off the top of the like, me and Heather aren't really into Dragon Age.
No, not the world or anything.
I used to be a huge BioWare fan. They warmed my heart ever since I played Star Wars KOTOR 1 all the way back in 2003. And I loved them, obviously. I say obviously. If you're only listening to this as the podcast on whatever podcast service of your choice, you won't know this, but Mass Effect is up there as like my favourite games. Mass Effect 2 is my favourite game. And I loved BioWare up until, say, Dragon Age Inquisition. And not because I hate Inquisition, I just couldn't take to it, that world. I'm just not that interested in.
Do you know that won the first ever game of the year?
What did?
Dragon Age Inquisition.
Oh yeah, it did.
The Game Awards.
Yeah, it did. Did not deserve it.
No.
I'm sorry, no, it didn't. It had a lot of good things in it. Like, the combat is not too bad. The dragon fights are amazing, but if you were to ask me what the main story is, I can't remember.
I don't know. And I've played it. Rifts?
No, I meant like the main villain. Really terribly designed villain.
He is terribly designed.
I hate him. I do like some of the companions. Varric's funner.
Yeah,
I like Cassandra's voice. It's kind of sexy in a weird way.
Yes, it is. I like her voice as well.
But we weren't that interested. And then like the trailer for the Veilguard shown, when it was actually called The Veilguard, and it looked like it was trying to look like Fortnite in a weird way. Like the style it was going for with the thing, it just didn't seem to match the seriousness of the previous games.
And the seriousness of the world it's meant to be set in.
But again, we're not fans, and from what we've seen, it seems like fans are really liking the game, and journalists are like mixed.
Yeah, it's getting mixed reviews.
And the big one, critics. Obviously, as I know, that's the game director has openly announced that there will be no support for the game, so I don't think it's getting DLC, because now they are focusing on Mass Effect 5, if Andromeda is even called 4. So yeah, Andromeda's really thrown a spanner in the numbering of these games.
Yeah.
And after what happened with Andromeda, I'm not really, and Anthem, BioWare aren't in my good books, so I'm not even excited for Mass Effect 5.
They should just call it Mass Effect 4, like Crash 4.
Yeah,
just deny that
everything else happened.
Yeah.
Which isn't fair, actually, because Crash Bash is awesome, and we will both die on that hill.
Yeah. It's not really a mainline game, that.
No, it wasn't, but it was awesome. Anyway, we'll probably stop it there with the game releases, but we'll talk about gaming adjacent news.
Yes.
And it's quite a lot.
There is, actually. I mean, you know, there's been a lot of movie TV adaptations of games.
Mm-hmm.
The one that we both enjoyed was Fallout. I thought that was brilliant, because I've never actually got into the Fallout games.
I've tried four. Quite a lot.
Yeah, but for some reason, it doesn't pull me in as much as JRPGs and stuff.
I love the Fallout universe.
But yeah, Craig is the Fallout expert in this duel.
It walks kind of a fine line, the TV show. It kind of takes elements from all the different games, even like the ones that Bethesda didn't have. Like they didn't own the IP. They bought it off a company that went under. Fallout 1 and 2 were original PC games. I think Fallout 2 had a port to the original Xbox and was considered one of the worst ports ever, along with Elder Scrolls 3 Morrowind. A lot of PC games should not go to console, but it did it just enough differently
to make it unique to itself without feeling like it was shitting on like the fans. Like the ghoul thing when he's got that spray, he has to take that spray to keep himself, or the vial, or whatever it is, to keep himself from going feral. And again, Walter Goggins, absolutely love that man. He could do no wrong. He was fantastic as the ghoul. He's such a fantastic actor.
I think that the TV show has really nailed the vibe.
Yes, the craziness of that
world. Yeah, it has. And the show has made me...
in a weird way.
The show's piqued my interest in the games. I want to actually go and play the games and get into them because I want to know more about the vaults.
Yeah.
I want to know more about what happened.
Yeah.
And how people live.
Yeah, and I like it because I like the way the story's told because obviously he's a guy who was there before the bombs dropped and because he turned into a ghoul. You can go back in time and show what happened before. Yeah. And it's really fun to see. And I really like some of the actors as well that were in it. It was brilliant to see.
Really well cast.
Yeah. And I mean, I like the girl that played... What's her name? Is it Lucy, the character?
I think so, yeah. Lucy, the main...
She's amazingly good at being naive.
Yeah.
And it's... So, but she becomes a better character. I still don't like... The Brotherhood guy, he's a bit he's a bit of a weird character.
I think he needs to develop more.
Yeah, I can't remember his name, but I do like it. When I saw the trailer, I was actually really impressed. The final trailer before the show, because that's
the power armor.
Because the teaser wasn't the best.
No.
But that final trailer was really cool.
Yeah.
And I really like the setup of the next season where it shows New Vegas and it's showing a Deathclaw skull.
Deathclaw, and I
cannot wait to see what a Deathclaw looks like in this show. Yeah. I just wish streaming services would stop putting episodes out all at once.
Yeah, they upload all the season
and then you lose it. It's like a lot of shows could benefit better from weekly.
Just episodic approach to television again. Like, let's go back.
And I feel like that's broke a lot of people's brains. So like anyone who's got into shows, if they go back, if like they're a TV ham, like you are more than I am.
Yeah, yeah.
Like there are older shows you're not meant to do that with. No. There are some shows you cannot binge. Like Sopranos is a good example. Or The Wire. They get really intense really quick.
House of Cards. You can't binge that.
That was around the time streaming networks started to really take off. But yeah, we really like the Fallout TV show. But on the opposite side of that, we had the Halo TV show was cancelled.
Well done.
I tried to watch the pilot because we had the free trial on Paramount Plus, and I got like 10 minutes in. I'm like, no. That felt like everything they did in the Fallout show, Halo didn't.
Isn't it because like they showed Master Chief's face or something?
Yes, but I'm not too bothered about stuff like that in a TV. Obviously, they have to do different adaptations. I don't want them to just do a carbon copy, but it felt like they had no respect.
Mm.
A big part of the lore in the Halo series is the Spartans have no sex drive.
Okay.
They're just soldiers. They're designed to be soldiers. Right. You put them in that suit, they stay in that suit, they go until they die. They just fight until they die. He has sex, I think, in like the first episode or whatever, and it just looked really bad. I was looking at it, and I was like... It's just, you see, every now and then you come across these things and you think, this would make a good idea.
No.
You think a TV show would work. And I know there's an Horizon show that's been planned.
Oh, God.
There's a Mass Effect show that's been planned.
There's meant to be a God of War one.
No. And it's like, these things, especially God of War doesn't work because you need it to be Kratos.
Yeah, yeah, you do. Anyone else, it wouldn't work.
I mean, Halo didn't have to be Master Chief. It could have been anyone. It could have been any Master Chief. It could have been, not Master Chief, sorry, any actual Spartan. But no, it's like they did too many things wrong. Too many things people didn't want.
Yeah. And so that show was cancelled.
Yes, after two seasons, which you got more than I thought it would.
Yeah, I didn't know where it'd go for two seasons.
But sadly, by the way, in the term of gaming adjacent Fallout's probably the only good thing we're going to talk about. Because there was the Borderlands mover.
Yeah.
Oh, I knew this was going to be bad.
I'm not a fan of Borderlands. This is all Craig, as well as Halo. I never played the Halo games.
You've seen me though. But Borderlands is so unique to itself. Like, it's such a fun, chaotic nightmare of a world. And everything to do with that mover is so amazingly wrong.
Wait, I have seen clips.
You have?
I've seen clips. Oh, of that, what's she called? She had her own game. Tiny Tina.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I think that's Tiny Tina, yeah.
It's all wrong.
Yeah, everything's wrong about it. But the thing is, it's so amazingly cliched in the way the story's told.
And the special effects are atrocious.
And the casting is wrong. Right. I love Kevin Hart. He's too small to play Roland. Like, Kevin, like, Roland's, like, at least 6 foot, and he's a soldier, so he's kind of built.
Mm.
I mean, obviously, it's cel-shaded, so they're not realistic-looking in Borderlands. But he's built like a normal soldier. Kevin Hart's, like, 4 foot nothing. I love him, but look, Kate Blanchett playing Lilith. No. She just looks so bored. Jamie Lee Curtis, why the hell is she there?
I was literally about to say that. What is she doing, honestly? She has way more of a profile than
the others,
Borderlands mate. Deserves.
But it's like, the thing that annoyed me with the them is like, the comedy doesn't match what the game comedy is.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
It doesn't match, and Jack Black is Claptrap.
Oh my god.
That could have been a match in heaven, but they make him the complete opposite as he is in the games. In the games, he's so happy-go-lucky, everyone hates him.
Yeah.
Because... now, you can read into this however you want. I personally like to imagine that he knows everyone hates him, but he likes to pretend he's everyone's friend. But in this, in the clips I've seen, because I refuse to watch this. I would have to be paid to watch this. He acts like he's helping people because he's got no choice.
Mm.
He's like, oh, fine, I'll help you and stuff like that. I've seen clips like that, and I'm like, who are you? And,
yeah.
And it's like, oh my god, it was so bad. And I just think... sometimes, though, that they really shouldn't bother adapting games.
No.
Because there's so many things you don't get right.
Yeah. And it's because people who produce TV shows and movies, are they gamers?
Or do they play them? Well, let's... it gets worse, because remember The Witcher? Before The Witcher show came out, the showrunner herself, or himself, whoever it was, admitted that they hadn't played the games, hadn't read the books. That's... Henry Cavill played the games, read the books. He's a proper nerd. He's a proper nerd for all this stuff.
Yeah.
He was so into it. Because, like, in the books, I believe, Geralt hates beards. He won't grow one. And yet, obviously, The Witcher 3, beard, front and centre. He's on the box art.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and, you know, but going back to Jack Black, we had the Minecraft movie was announced. Now, I know it's still a massively popular game, but way to miss the boat on this one.
How the hell can you even have a Minecraft movie? Jack Black. Yeah. I mean, you're not on the level of Jamie Lee Curtis, but you have a better profile than
but
that.
But at the same time, it seems like in the last year, his goodwill with people seems to have gone down a lot.
That's because of his falling out with Kyle Gass.
Over the Trump thing.
Yeah, over the Trump thing, definitely.
We're not going to get into that.
No, God, no.
No, we're not here for that. We're here for gaming.
We are.
Go and have your political strife somewhere else.
But yeah, I've seen pictures of Jack Black.
Oh, I've seen the trailer. Jason Momoa, what are you doing here?
I've not even got words.
You're right. It's like, I just hope, I mean, it won't be, but the Lego movie is a good example.
Mm.
If I told you there was a movie just called The Lego Movie, you'd be like, I bet that's crap. It's not. It's genuinely amazing. I cannot wait till Ava's old enough to watch it. She's going to love it.
It has great humour.
Like, yeah, I remember babysitting one of my friend's kids. He was about 7 or 8, and we went to see it. And we had that song. I'm not going to sing it. I'll remind you of it if you've forgotten it. I had that stuck in my head, and we were annoying his mum with it when we got home.
He's like the Lego games as well. Yeah. I really like the humour they have in the cutscenes and how they're able to recreate.
Yeah, it somehow works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Minecraft, I think you're right. Unless they do it in that kind of style, it's just not going to work.
It's just, again, like I said, it's popular, but...
Minecraft doesn't even have a story.
It has a story mode, or like survival mode. That's
I always play in the bloody creative mode.
I do too, I don't care.
So I can just build,
but
that's all
I want. Yeah, because that's all I want to do too, but exactly. We barely play it.
Yeah.
I never really care that much for it, and I think you're the same. But yeah. So that's 2024, I guess.
Yeah, I bet there's something massive that happened this year that we've just completely glossed
over. If we have, just leave it in the comments below.
Yeah, leave it in comments.
And we might pin it or whatever. But yes, if you aren't watching on YouTube and you're listening to this on a podcast of your choice, thank you very much for making it this far.
Yeah.
Feel free to share this with people if you want to and leave a good review.
Yes. Hopefully, we'll be creating a lot more episodes in the future. You can listen to us idiots chatting.
Yeah, two idiots talk crap. Yes.
About games.
Yes. And if you actually have an idea yourself for something you'd like to hear us discuss, please leave it below in anywhere that you can and we might get to it in the future.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I've been Craig.
Yeah, and I've been Heather.
This is the first episode of the Amalgamingle podcast, and thank you for listening.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Happy New Year. Bye.